Welcome to the show.
Blog Talk Radio.
Whoa, whoa. Yeah. Where? Holy Spirit just moved. Oh, yeah. Hey, Holy Spirit just moved. Why be the camp? 2x2 the movement. Let's go. I wanna know your name, know your name, know your name, know your name. I wanna know your name, know your name, know your name, know your name. I wanna know your name.
Hello, y'all. I really wanna get to know his name. Not just for a season like Christmas or holidays. I heard his name is Jesus, name higher than every name. And he can't be born and died for sins, which I'm to blame since that's the case. And what a shame that people nowadays not even thinking of him. They living for selfish gain instead of hearing Jesus is the reason for the season, which is truth. I'm hearing about a man with toys and clowns on roofs. Give him the boot. Now can you please remind me, what's a Santa Claus to a rockabye baby? I mean rockabye baby. Since a man now was not a baby. You know he died, but he rose up. Now lift his name up.
Hello and welcome to the show. This is Madeline Bass, your host of So Real with Madeline, where we're keeping it real daily, creating greater lifestyles by changing our status and raising our standards. So welcome, welcome, welcome. This is another Monday. We're bringing to you someone who will help us to be inspired and empowered to do whatever it is God has for us to do. Of course, that's my son, Quincy Howard Sr., sharing with us his single, Want to Know Your Name. For those of you who don't know who he is, we want you to get to know who he is and grow in him each and every day, and that is Jesus Christ. And we want to allow him the opportunity to come through and just maneuver through your life and make some awesome and amazing changes and grow you to your greater. So I'm going to introduce to you guys today another guest. His name is Pastor Irvin Timble, and we're going to bring him on. How are you today, Pastor?
I'm doing well, Madeline. So good to be with you and your guest today.
So glad to have you. Why don't you to say hello and tell us where you are and where you're calling from and what you do.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Well, I'm currently in a city called Sabaneta, South America in Colombia. It's near the town of Medellin, and people might have heard of Medellin, Colombia. My wife and I, we retired here, so that this is where we live, and I'm a retired pastor after 24 years of pastoring a church in the Atlanta suburbs. So we're here in the golden years and living out the dream of being in a different culture, living abroad.
Beautiful. That's absolutely awesome. So we're going to talk about this beautiful book you've written called Giving Voice to the Truth. So tell us, what was your inspiration for the book?
Okay. Yes, the book is by the title, I guess you can get an idea. It's called Giving Voice to Truth, and the subtitle is God's Heart for Racial Unity. And the inspiration that I got from the book was due to my personal experiences that I had had. And by me being retired, maybe you might know it, but let me just share with your audience that I'm 74 years old. So I've been around a while. So I've been through the 60s mm-hmm. and through the civil rights era. And so I've had a lot of experience with the racial tension that's in the country today. So giving voice to truth is actually I was looking forward to retiring and just traveling, but God would not have it to be. He wanted me to do this. So it was by inspiration from him. What God did was he laid on my heart his burden, and he has a burden because there's so much division in the church, in the body of Christ. And we, when you look at the landscape, and when you start talking about the racial issue in America, the Christian, the evangelical Christian church is woefully silent in many cases. There are some who speak out on it, but in many cases that you don't hear the voice of God concerning the issue of race relations in America. You hear a political voice, you hear a social voice and a civic voice, even an economic voice, but you don't hear God's voice. And so he laid on my heart that his voice is not being heard around this issue. So that was the genesis of my inspiration was simply a conviction that he put on me, and a burden that he's burdened because of the way that believers primarily do not have, not demonstrate an answer to the racial issue. The believers who call on the same God, who call on them, use the same Bible, the same Spirit, yet we're so divided when it comes to the issue of race in America. And so I began to look into that and begin to explore that, and that's what came to, and the results of that is the book that I wrote, and the subsequent talks that I put together, I produced on that subject.
Okay. Now, it says here that you were a teacher, you are a community leader, an activist, as you've shared, with the racism. Yeah. I know that it's an ongoing something that I believe it's just going to be there simply because the enemy also exists. And I think that that's just his job, to keep the division, as you're saying. The division comes because mm-hmm. of the spiritual warfare that we have between the spirit, mm-hmm. not flesh and blood. So mm-hmm. with that being said, mm-hmm. as we move forward with your book, what is it that you want others to receive from it? Like, what is your greatest desire that this book brings to people?
That's a good question. I think the first of all, you know, just piggybacking on your thought about the whole idea of this being a spiritual matter, I think most people, and most of the time that we have this discussion about race, we don't have it in the context of a spiritual issue. We have it in the context of a social or political issue. But I believe that this racism is the legacy of a sin, and the sin is slavery. So if you talk about the idea of the struggle and the problem of racism in America, most of the time we want to discuss it as if it's a current event. In the book, I point out in what God has revealed to me is this is not a current event. This is a historical mm-hmm. event. And until you deal with mm-hmm. it in the context of the history and the history of slavery and even, you know, pre-slavery, then you can't really grasp the magnitude of this problem. I believe racism is a sin, and I believe it's generational. And that speaks to your idea of, like, it's never going to go away. Well, that's because it's a generational condition that has been existing for hundreds and hundreds of years. And so my prayer is that the book would be enlightening, revealing, and ultimately transformative. I don't want it to be just informational. The idea behind the book and ultimately the truth talks that I put together is to bring about a transformation, not just information.
I agree with that. I really do. I agree with that. So let's share with us where we can purchase your book. Where can we do your website? Give us your website and information on where we can contact you.
Okay. Well, the book can be purchased on Amazon.com. It's A Giving Voice to Truth. And, of course, my name is Irvin Kimball. And so that you can purchase it there. I do have a website. I have the website is www.givingvoicetotruth.com. It's and also Instagram is by the same name, Giving Voice to Truth. And my Facebook page is also Giving Voice to Truth. And all of those places is where I can be connected. Also, there's an email that I can be reached at. It's called givingvoicetotruth@gmail.com. If you remember Giving Voice to Truth, you can get in touch with me and ultimately with the book.
Now, your website, is that .com, .org?
.com is givingvoicetotruth.com.
Okay, great, 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 great. All righty, ladies and gentlemen, we're sharing with Mr. Pastor Irvin Kimball, And as you can hear, he's just got a, even his voice is peaceful. His voice is very calming, and you can tell that he was a teacher at some point to a counselor. So we're just enjoying and soaking in the knowledge that he's giving us. And we're going to talk a little bit more about your book. Now, what part of your book is most personal to you?
There are two parts that's most personal to me. The first part is what I call, the book is broken up into three parts, just to make it simple. It's one is revelation, the second one is illumination, and then the third part is unification. So it's revelation, and that's the part where God reveals to individuals, and particularly concern the area of race, and I believe that it's a, since it's a spiritual issue, God has to reveal to us the depth of our depravity. He has to show us mm-hmm. what it is concerning Him, or at least our attitude toward race, because what we have is an inherited condition. Just like any sin, it's an inherited condition. And if we don't know that, and if we don't understand that, then He has to reveal that. So that's the first part of that. And that was, in a personal sense, He had to reveal to me. He did it on a retreat I had. It was a men's retreat, and I went to with businessmen because I have a nonprofit organization, and I was doing fundraising. So I was looking at businessmen to you know, promote my ministry work. And at this retreat was 200 white businessmen and about two or three black businessmen, and of which I was one. And God, on this retreat, the facilitator asked us to go and find a quiet space and spend about an hour asking God why He loves us. And being a pastor for 25 years, I knew about God's love and all of that. And that was not something that I really felt like I was, you know, was going to be very revealing to me, because I knew it. So I had determined in my mind I was going to take a nap and come back into the conference. Well, while I was nodding off, God said, I want to talk to you. And I said, about what? I said, I know you love me. He said, I don't want to talk to you about why I love you. I said, well, what? He said, I want to talk to you about why I love them. And I said, well, who is them? He said, the 200 white guys in the room. And I said, well, what does that got to do with me? He said, I want to talk to you about why I love them, because you don't. And that floored me. I mean, what do you mean? I'm a pastor. I'm a preacher. What do you mean I don't love them? You know, Jesus said we're supposed to love everybody. He said, you don't love them. You tolerate them. You, in some cases, despise them. You use them, but you don't love them. And that is what floored me, because Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, when you show love one for another. He let me know that I was a closet racist hiding in plain sight in the church. And that was, that, as you can imagine, being a pastor, I mean, who, and I wouldn't want to tell that to anybody, right? And after He revealed that to me and showed me all of that, He said, now go back in the room and tell those 200 white guys what I told you. And I went in, and I didn't want to do it, but he wouldn't let me rest until, and I stood up, and I told, got a microphone, and I told them what I just said, and it was like, you know, a church mouth. I mean, there was no, it was silence in the room, and nobody knew what to say, and the conference was just mm-hmm. shot after that. Because he let me know, he said, you're not the only one in the mm-hmm. room.
Mm-hmm.
And so that personal experience and the burden of God revealing that he has a command for us, and it has to go across the racial divide. But how do you do that became the problem. How do we make that happen, because of so many things that's going on in our personal lives, so much history, so much pain, so much injustice, so many things that have happened that we see on the news every day. How do you come about, how do you manifest a demonstrable love across the racial divide. And then that led me to the other part that was most personal to me, is the unification. And that is that the only way that we, the Bible did not call the church to integrate. That was there's no command and no facility for integration in the church. He called the church to unify. That we are to be unified, so it's not integration, it's unification. And so in order for that to happen, we have to deal with the historical nature of the sin and the legacy of racism and deal with it as it is. It's passed down by generation. And if it's passed down for generation, as a chapter in my book I write about, it's called I'm No Longer the Son of a Slave. And God really revealed to me that as being a descendant of a slave, what does a slave leave to his children as an inheritance? What can a slave give to someone who is his progenitor? How can he pass? What does he pass on to them? Because they have, that's the only source for your inheritance is from your parents. And so parents have passed on what they could, and what I had been passed on, because I'm just two generations removed from slavery, I had been inherited sonship of slavery, and he had to deliver me from that. And not only have I passed it on, but the sons of the slave masters passed on their legacy to their children. And the sons of the daughters of those who looked the other way passed on a legacy to their children. And it's been passed on from generation to generation to generation. And that's why it feels like it can never end.
That's good. That's really good. I mean, and what you're sharing is a conversation that I've had even with my children and some of their friends. Like, we've had this conversation of it being passed on, because they were like, do you believe that this is just in our DNA to be this way? And I'm like, no, I believe it's a part of a generational curse of a mindset. And we need to learn how to move our minds towards the spirit of God and what he wants for us in our lives, not what man has tried to force in us to believe who we are. God is the only creator of all things. He run it all. So we have to get to the place where we allow his spirit within us to mold us and push us forward to make some changes and become those trailblazers. So I really appreciate what you're sharing, because a lot of it is a confirmation of a mindset that I have. And I really do, I thank God that it gives you the heart to go ahead and write this book and being obedient in what he would have for you. So in closing, will you just give us some words of encouragement and allow our audience to just experience your greatness one more time?
Okay, thank you, Sue. Well, I think the encouragement for me and for the book comes in a couple of phases. One is that once we come to the realization of the issue, we have to come to the belief and the understanding and the empowerment that comes from being new creatures in Christ. It's the in Christness that allows us to be able to overcome all things in him. But understanding that because of him, we are new creatures, and that the newness, like Paul says, that we are no longer the same. Old things have passed away. Well, what is he talking about? Well, he's talking about the fact that even in this situation of race and racism, that we're new creatures. We're not the same anymore. And it's that newness in Christ that allows us to be able to move beyond where we are, or beyond our circumstances and the things that we have been taught, and the sin that has been passed down through generation. So with that newness comes the ability to do things differently. With that newness comes the empowerment to be able to be that demonstration of love across the divide and to embrace the unity of the Spirit as he has given it to us as a remedy. And so that's where we've also produced what we call Truth Talks About Race, which are virtual Zoom sessions. I do a series of those, and I invite people to join us in that, where I present the content of the book. We have multiracial, multigenerational groups within the group, and we discuss it, we work it out, we allow the Spirit of God to reveal it, we help build relationships, we equip people to do the work of demonstration of love. And it's through those Truth Talks, and you can find that on my website, givingvoicetotruth.com. And there's a place there called Truth Talks, and you would click on that, and you can register for these Truth Talks. And it's in those Truth Talks that we are able to equip people, to help them to be able to have that conversation, to build those relationships, and to be a demonstration of the love of Christ in our culture today. And so it's with that that we find much hope. And it's in that space of doing this work that we are really excited about what God is going to be doing to demonstrate his voice to the people concerning his heart for racial unity.
Wow, that's amazing. Thank you for that. I really do appreciate you taking the time to join us all the way from Columbia. So we just thank God for the connection. Betty, yes. Yeah, we have to pray that thing on through. So, but ladies and gentlemen, we have been listening to Pastor Irvin Kimball, and he has been sharing his heart and his passion with this book of Giving Voice to Truth, and just talking about the realism of racism. And it is not something that just showed up, you guys. It's something that's been around. And it's in our politics, it's in our schools, it's in our families, it's everywhere. And we need to learn how to address it, like he says. Get in touch with him for his Truth Talk, and get in touch with him to share and understand more of what God even has for you and your life. And he may be speaking to your heart. And he allowed Pastor Kimball to come and talk with us so that you can make that connection. So be obedient. And what he gives you to do, no matter how you may feel it can't be done or God can't use me, he can absolutely use you. He created you, therefore he can use you. So allow him the opportunity to have that truth of your life be exposed. That's something that a lot of us are afraid of, our real selves being exposed and the truth of who you truly are in behind those locked doors, in the corner, in the dark. So we want who God has you to become to come to light. We want you to no longer be silent in what he's doing in you and allow people to see the change that God can do in all of us. We all have something that we need to work towards and being better at in his name. So thank you once again, Pastor Kimball. I honestly and truly have enjoyed this so much. And I appreciate you so much. You guys go to his website. Everything is Giving Voice to Truth. So hit his website. Of course, that's probably going to be the best way to get in touch with him, givingvoicetotruth.com. And reach out to him and go to his Instagram and follow him and see the things that God is doing in his life. Thank you again, Pastor, for joining us. And we hope that you will return at a later date.
Thank you, Madeline. I have really enjoyed my time together, and thank you for the work that you're doing in inspiring people to be all that God had called them to be. I want to commend you on that, going over the airways and the technology to spread that message, and thank you for having me. I do look forward to coming back if you would have me. I would love to share more.
Absolutely. I would love it. So make sure that you make the connection and reach out and let me know when you're ready and when you're available, and we will set that up to have you return, because this has truly been a blessing to me, if no one else. So those of you who will be listening to the playback, may God bless you, and may he keep you in all that you're doing. Live for him. Do not be ashamed of him, because he is real, and he's real in my soul. And we thank you guys. Have an awesome week. Be productive, be powerful, be inspirational, and most of all, be saved and be careful and be safe. I'm Madeline Bass, your host of So Real with Madeline. We've had our guest, Irvin Kimball, here with us, and we want you to keep it real daily by creating greater lifestyles, by changing your status, and raising your standards in Christ. Once again, we're going to be listening to my son, Quincy Howard Sr., Want to Know Your Name. Have an awesome evening.
Whoa, whoa. Yeah. Where? Holy Spirit just moved. Oh, yeah. Hey, Holy Spirit just moved. Why be the camp? Two by two the movement. Let's go.
I wanna know your name, know your name, know your name, know your name. I wanna know your name, know your name, know your name, know your name. I wanna know your name.
Hello, y'all. I really wanna get to know his name. Not just for what season, like Christmas or holidays. I heard his name is Jesus, name higher than every name. And he can't be born and died for sins. What time to blame, since that's the case, and what a shame. That people nowadays, not even thinking of him, they living for selfish gain. Instead of hearing Jesus is the reason for the season, which is truth. I'm hearing by the men with tours, the clowns on roofs, give him the boots. Now can you please remind me, what's a Santa Claus to a rockabye baby? I mean rockabye baby, since a man now we're not a baby. You know he died, but he rose up, now lift his name up. His name's Emmanuel, I swear no hell won't even touch it. That's the end of discussion. I wanna know his name, let my life be show and tell, so you can tell I know him well, it's in his name. I believe,
know
yeah.
Your name.
Whoa.
Know
whoa.
Your name, know your name, know your name. I wanna know your name, know your name, know your name, know your name. I wanna know your name.
Pitch perfect, I played the perfect.